Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's audio lectures for the ACE CPT exam. My name is Eddie Lester, the founder and CEO and head educator here at Fitness Mentors. And I just wanted to start off by introducing you guys to the audio lectures for the ACE CPT and kind of talk about how you're going to use them as well as the best ways to go about completing your studying through this intensive ACE textbook. So the audio lectures are mainly going to be a side-by-side companion for this textbook. Okay, with 800 pages, this textbook is definitely going to be kind of daunting to most. So what we're going to do is we're going to take you through page by page and explain all the information in an easy-to-understand way, including what's most important to being a personal trainer and what's most important to passing the ACE CPT exam. So we really want you guys to utilize these audio lectures with our online course. Our online course includes, in addition to these audio lectures, our PowerPoints, PowerPoint lectures, assignments that you're going to answer, and then we also have the answers in audio to the assignments, as well as a quiz, and that's for each chapter, and it really puts together a great comprehensive learning program that's really going to allow you guys to feel like you're getting the most out of your study time. So definitely check out our online course, and we also do sell each of those products individually, so don't be afraid to give us a call or check them out on our site to make sure that you're tailoring your needs in this study process. All right, so how are you going to utilize these audio lectures? What I want you guys to do, a lot of people use them in different ways, but specifically what the main goal for you guys to do with these audio lectures is to use them, set aside some time, have your textbook, pop in your earbuds, stream them through your phone and or anywhere, any device that you'd like, and go through the book with us, meaning follow along with the lecture through the book. Or if you don't have the book with you, you can definitely listen to these on the go, whether it's in your car. Some of you may be in your car right now as you start to listen to these. But utilize them as you need. Typically, we recommend with the textbook, but it doesn't have to be because you know that it's great to have these because you could have your study time anywhere that you need it, which is great. So that's kind of the intro to our audio lectures. And we want to go ahead and get started with chapter number one of the ACE CPT textbook. Specifically, they call it the Personal Trainer Manual, fifth edition. And on chapter one, it kind of starts on page two. They're going to go over in the left-hand side column a lot about just basically what each chapter has. At the beginning of each chapter, they have this left-hand side column, and that's what they're going to mainly be covering. And as you can kind of see, this chapter is really just an introduction to the personal training field, the career, as well as you know what's going to be expected of you, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and then tell you a little bit about the ACE CPT certification, and then also kind of assist you with some career development ideas. So looking over to page two, right in the beginning there, on that first paragraph, they're going to talk about basically the reason for why we should exercise. And specifically in 2008, basically the United States government came out with physical activity guidelines for Americans in 2008. And it's a comprehensive list of just like, why should we exercise? And you know, what type of exercise is beneficial? It's really, really simple stuff. The government just typically recommends that you work out for at least 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity physical activity. And to tell the truth, a lot of those recommendations can show up on the NASM or on the ACE CPT exam. So with the other benefits to exercise in those first bullet points on those first two pages. Basically, it's going to reduce the risk of disease. It's going to make you feel better. Whether it be mental clarity or just other health benefits, mental focus, stress reduction, stuff like that, as well as basically other things like in adults, older adults, help you with your activities of daily living, and just promote lifelong health. So exercise for 150 minutes is going to be the basic recommendation from that section. And then in table 1.1 right there on page 3, they have a whole list of the benefits associated with just regular physical activity. And guys, what is regular physical activity? According to the 2008 physical activity guidelines for Americans, it's 150 minutes of moderate physical activity. So some basic benefits include things like a low risk of death, lower risk of coronary heart disease, lower risk of stroke, obviously lower risk of disease in general, prevention of weight gain, weight loss, body composition improvement, improved bone health, all of these great things that this 2008 physical activity guidelines studied and basically proved that these are the benefits and this is why you should exercise. So we all kind of know that as we are studying to be personal trainers. We probably have all worked out in the past, and if not, then this is why we're working out. All right, so moving over to page four, they're going to start to talk about the ACE personal trainer and what is the job, the main role of the ACE certified personal trainer. And that's basically going to be, you're going to play a role in the allied healthcare continuum. And specifically, your job is to help clients participate in exercise programs. And that's going to assist them in improving their health. That's the main kind of goal that goes right along with that. Those 2008 physical activity guidelines is that you're going to help those people get that activity and improve their health. So furthermore, in the allied healthcare continuum section, as we get to the bottom of the page, it's really going to be talking about, you know, what is healthcare? And, you know, from a personal trainer standpoint, healthcare is really disease prevention, but not disease prevention from a, you know, take a pill sort of thing, but more like how can you live the healthiest lifestyle in order to prevent, we'll say, health issues down the road. And that's definitely done through, you know, eating well. That's done through having contact with your primary physician. That's working out regularly. That's sleeping well. All of these things matter. And this is kind of what makes up the health or allied healthcare continuum, which is in these gray boxes as you get to page four and five. And a lot of the good information in this textbook is going to come from these gray boxes. So I do really recommend, you know, if you're going to read every single word, that's great. But if you're going to really focus on a lot of, you know, the most, we'll say, actionable and best information in the textbook, look at a lot of these sections that say expand your knowledge or, you know, furthermore. And there's, yeah, as we get down the road, you'll see more of these sort of boxes, these key concepts sort of things. All right, so let's list a few of the other, we'll say, people or other fields you may come in contact with if you or when you become a personal trainer via the allied healthcare continuum. Things people like acupuncturists, chiropractors, dietitians, naturopathic physicians, nurses, all different types of nurses, physicians, behavioral medicine practitioners, physical therapists, or the behavioral medicine practitioners is going to be someone like a counselor or a psychologist or psychiatrist. Physical therapist, like I said, that's more for when people get injured. They need to come or work towards becoming healthier. Then we have occupational therapists, athletic trainers, which are going to really focus on that, you know, injury prevention athletes and or injury assistance and healing from certain things like that. But that's basically going to be the general concept of the allied healthcare continuum. It's who are the fields that you're going to work with your clients to benefit the health of the person. And, you know, all of these people and all these, career paths have different specific scopes of practice. And, you know, you aren't going to be able to, do physical therapy work with someone if you aren't a physical therapist. You aren't going to be able to prescribe, we'll say, medicine if you aren't a physician or a doctor or MD. So that's really mainly, they want you to know your role within this allied healthcare continuum. That's really just assisting people with exercise programs, building effective exercise programs, and giving them general information about health. So as we move over to page six, another expand your knowledge sort of section, just to kind of start out. They're basically just going to say the personal training industry and fitness industry in general is booming, and it's continuing to grow. And what is the reason for that? My personal opinion, the reason for, well, and definitely plausible all around, is that the personal training industry is growing because the health of the nation is slowly declining, meaning the average person is becoming less and less healthy. So where should they turn? They're going to be turning to people like us that are assisting people in becoming healthy again and or maintaining this state of health, which is done through exercise, through eating well, through ensuring, you know, optimal health through medicines and different things like that, which is obviously more towards the MD's perspective. But we as a community and as a career field are here to help people become healthy again. And a lot of times, you know, when you're young, you don't even think about being healthy because you're active. But then as you get to 20, 30, 40 years old, more 50 years old, you start to exercise less. You most likely have a full-time career. And all of a sudden, your health may start to decline. So us as personal trainers can really help people maintain and or return to that healthy lifestyle. And, you know, with the ever-growing, we'll say, ever-expanding lack of health, if that made sense, we are going to be even more and more important until everyone sort of realizes, you know, they need to treat their bodies well, which who knows how long that'll take until we can really have a full impact where, you know, only 10% of the population is overweight or something like that. So the personal training industry is a great industry to be in. Fitness is a great industry to be in. And that's because you get to help people get healthy. And the most important thing to most people should be their own individual health. Because they can enjoy everything else in their life a lot more if they are healthy. All right, so that's just a quick little rant by Eddie. Yeah, a lot of these audio lectures, you do get some good insight and ranting as well from me. But yeah, we're here to go through this together, give you the best information to kind of make you a successful trainer. So let's move along. As we get to the bottom of page 6, we're going to talk once again about this a little bit more about what physical therapists are, occupational therapists, athletic trainers, registered dietitians. All these people are there to help your clients. You will come in contact with them. And as we get into the scope of practice further down in this chapter, we'll talk more about that as well. But one of the main things from this lower section is, or they introduce the scope of practice, but really just that, once again, they're going to remind you these professionals are going to give patients guidelines for exercises. Like physical therapists and athletic trainers would, they would say, hey, you know, do some exercise, but what do they typically recommend? They are just more recommending the basics of the general, like walk 30 minutes, 5 days a week, or most days of the week, that sort of thing. But once again, guys, that does typically show up a lot on the test. It's just some basic general guidelines. So keep that in mind. All right, let's talk a little bit about the scope of practice. That's really just to define that scope of practice. At the bottom there of page 6, it's going to be what is in line with your field of work. What training do you have that you can help people with? You did not train pharmacology, so you don't know anything about medicine. So most likely you're not going to be recommending medicines to your clients. But yeah, there's a really, we'll get into a little bit more detail so we can kind of skip through that and not really focus too much on that. But the chapter 7 in this allied, the end of this allied healthcare continuum section, you have this nice graph, figure 1.1, that talks about all the different professions inside of this allied healthcare continuum. And we fall into the trainers, coaches, instructors in that bottom right bubble. But the main person that's going to be dealing with someone's health based on the scope of practice their scope of practice is going to be the physician, nurse practitioner, physician's assistant, the primary care physician, MD, MD, and then the advanced registered nurse practitioner. That's where the main health is from. But all these other fields can really, really help with your client's health. All right. So at the bottom, page 7, the ACE personal trainer certification. They're going to talk a good amount about this ACE CPT, and just to kind of go over the basics of what this section is talking about, it's basically that they're going to describe the ACPT as being the minimum sort of standards that you need to be able to develop exercise programs safely and effectively for your clients. That's their goal. They want you to be able to help people, but not just the guy off the street that's worked out a lot and he's just going to make you a workout. They want you to know the science behind why you would recommend exercises for certain body parts or certain exercise programs for a specific person. They want you to be competent as a personal trainer, and that's their main goal. Yeah, that's at the bottom there. They just say that the professional has proven your competence in applying the knowledge from this textbook, and that's what the test is made for, is that you, by passing the ACPT test, you are competent to create fitness programs for individual clients. That's kind of the main point of the ACPT certification. So next, top page 8, defining scope of practice. So this is where ACE the ACPT really likes to emphasize what you are doing as a personal trainer. And the main thing is they want you to make sure you do not cross into other career paths' scope of practice, because that could create legal ramifications to that would not be beneficial to you. So basically defining the scope of practice is going to be the legal range of services that a professional in a given field can provide. So on table 1.2 and down below, they're going to talk all about the different scopes of practice. And we're going to point out a good amount of things here, because ACE loves to ask test questions all about the scope of practice, because they want to make sure you understand what you are allowed to do as a personal trainer so that you don't get yourself in trouble. They want to make sure that you are competent in the exercise, but do not focus on, we'll say, other areas of the allied healthcare continuum that would get you into any trouble. So what is going to be the basics? At the bottom here, as we get into scope, or the key concept or the scope of practice for the ACPT, is basically you are in charge of services that are going to enhance body composition. But let's say somebody wants to know about how they can eat or what they can eat to lose body fat. It's not really your job to recommend, we'll say, a diet, or recommend a nutritional pattern, or give someone a meal plan. So what ACE is going to suggest here in that middle bottom of page 8 is that you're going to recommend clients to certain tools, and specifically they recommend one online tool called www.choosemyplate.gov, which is going to be the USDA's website that helps people eat or choose or make health-conscious nutritional decisions. And that is a great way to make sure you stay inside your scope of practice. Hey, Mr. Personal Trainer, what should I eat to lose body fat? It's like, oh, well, hey, check out this website. They're going to list everything that you need to know to lose body fat and give you some great suggestions for nutrition. Right there, as opposed to saying, oh, you need to eat, or eat less carbs, or eat less fat, or cut your calories and do this, do that, do that. You really just say, hey, that's not really what my certification covers as far as my scope of practice. So I'm going to recommend you to this website, which is going to be the most updated resource for tracking your dietary intake is going to be this recommended by the USDA, and it's choosemyplate.gov. And you guys can check it out right now, especially if you're on a computer, you want to pause this. Just give it a gander so that you can be familiar with recommending it to your clients. All right. Once again, guys, you can educate clients on maybe some of the effects of certain foods and the vitamin and mineral sort of content of foods. And even, the effects of certain supplements, like what does increased protein do? But you can't really say, I want you to eat this supplement or take this protein powder for more protein. It's a little gray area that a lot of personal trainers do tend to dive into, because they really want to help their clients and they don't want, send them to a certain website. But according to the scope of practice, it's not recommended. But once again, guys, we want you to highlight choosemyplate.gov, and also we want you to highlight the sentence right after that, USDA 2010, is basically that clients who are looking for more detailed nutritional programming, they need to choose or visit choosemyplate.gov to find the recommendations for nutritional supplements. Recommendations for nutritional supplements should be referred to a registered dietitian. That's really important. That's one of the main things that they're gonna ask about is, who should be recommending foods? Who should be recommending supplements? Not the personal trainer, the registered dietitian. All right, so now after highlighting those sections down in the bottom left on page 8, on page 9, this table 1.2, I want you guys to have this table memorized. And they really tend to, there's multiple questions that come out of this. It's pretty easy to understand what trainers can and can't do, but the specifics and the questions can sometimes be tricky. You guys definitely need to know that personal trainers do not diagnose, okay? So let's say someone comes to you with knee pain and they tell you about an injury they had. You can't say, oh, well, that sounds like an ACL injury. You can't really say that. You can't diagnose them with anything. What you should do is if they have pain, you should send them to a physician or someone that it's inside of their scope of practice. So you do not diagnose. Definitely memorize that. Just refer clients to the allied healthcare provider that falls within that diagnosing pain spectrum. You guys do not prescribe. Okay, you do not prescribe anything. You don't. You do design exercise programs, but you don't prescribe an exercise program. Just that word prescribe, you would want to stay away from that as far as using that to say what you do as a personal trainer. Oh, I prescribe exercise programs. Nope, I actually just design exercise programs and take people through them. Next, you don't prescribe diets or recommend specific supplements. The person that does that, guys, is a registered dietitian. Okay, registered dietitian is the it's a 4-year degree or 4-year postgraduate degree, or actually it might just be a master's and then some clinical hours. The registered dietitian is a whole nother ballpark of studying and we'll say certifications and licensures that you get through the state that then allow you to make nutritional plans and recommendations without any worry of legal issues. All right, but what can the personal trainer do with nutrition is provide general information on healthy eating and then basically in accordance to the food or my plate food guidance system, they say. What you're going to do is you can educate, but you can't recommend foods. Okay, that's kind of the, it's a big gray area because, you know, me saying that eating, or I took this protein powder and noticed an increase in, we'll say muscle gain. And, you know, as me telling my client that I did that is not necessarily recommending that they do that. But if they want muscle gain and you've done it and it worked for you, they may be more inclined to do it. So just a bit of a gray area that you can kind of work around, but just make sure it's obviously you haven't. The main thing for that I'd say is don't send a meal plan via email to a client. Because if you do that, that's basically they could say, hey, I followed this meal plan and I got sick and I'm going to sue you. And how can I prove that you gave me this meal plan? Well, it's electronically documented via email. So that's a very obvious thing. You can talk about all you want because they can't directly say, you know, it's his word versus your word, whether you told him to take a, you know, vitamin C supplement and they did and that something happened to them. So just try not to leave a paper trail if you do end up recommending certain foods and different things like that, just to be safe for your career. All right, you don't treat injury or disease. You do not monitor progress for medically referred clients. You do not rehabilitate, guys. The person that rehabilitates is a physical therapist, typically. But once someone's been released from rehabilitation, you can create an exercise program for them to continue their rehabilitation. But it wouldn't be called rehabilitation. It would just be called further habilitation, maybe. And you don't counsel. You guys, a lot of your clients will want to talk about their lives and how, their wife left them or, you know, so you'll hear the craziest stories, but you shouldn't really counsel or coach or provide advice to anyone on anything besides what's fitness related. So keep that in mind. Once again, guys, work with patients. You don't work with patients. You train clients. That's just a one last little communicational, sensitive sort of area. As you don't have patients, you have clients. So don't refer to anyone as a patient. All right, but they go into that a little bit further on page 9. Yeah, guys, once again, a lot of test questions can come from table 1.2, so we want you to have that memorized, and also just for your own benefit to really understand what you can and can't do as a personal trainer is right there. So once again, meal plans, you guys don't give them. All right, so moving over to page 10, further into the ACE Certified Personal Trainer scope of practice, they give a lot more or further advice about what you can and can't, or basically can do. This is kind of the box in which they say, this is your scope of practice. Okay, you can do these things. We want to point out one main thing in here. I want you guys to go ahead and read through that and just kind of get an idea, but hopefully you have an idea of what you can or cannot do as of right now. But there's one thing in the bottom middle there that's kind of important. You're going to be dealing with people's sensitive medical information. And it's important to protect the client's confidentiality. And specifically, the suggested act that kind of points to why and recommends that you do keep the client confidentiality is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. It's called HIPAA, HIPAA. And that's basically just saying that the client is in charge of who has access to their medical information. And so if somebody gives you their medical information because you need it to design an exercise program, you need to make sure that you don't share that information with anyone else, as well as protect it by locking it in a drawer. You know, like you can't just have it floating around your work area. It needs to be protected and safeguarded so that nobody else can look into someone else's medical information. All right, so yeah, highlight that HIPAA there in that little box, and read through a few of those as this, it gets a little bit deeper into the exact scope of practice. All right, so knowledge, skills, and abilities of the ACE certified personal trainer as we get down to page 10. What are you guys going to be expected of as far as your knowledge, skills, and abilities? What should you know? And really, this is going to get into the ACE CPT exam. And they're going to kind of identify what you're in the ACPT exam. They're going to identify what you do need to know. And specifically, when we talk about this, the personal training or the CPT, ACPT is going to be really designed for those who want to do one-on-one training, small group training, and just assist people, or basically for people that are healthy. Okay, you don't have any specific sort of training yet that emphasizes working with someone with a disease. So it's really just apparently healthy individuals. We want to teach you how to create a safe and effective workout program. And that's the main goal behind the test, and they're going to quiz you on all the things that are necessary to do that. In the expand your knowledge sections, as we get over to page 11, they're going to talk more about the exam content and how you can use that as a study tool. You know, so they're gonna throw some percentages at you in that, and you know, client interviews and assessments, 31%, program design is 33%, progressions, modifications, 19%. Those sort of suggestions aren't necessarily going to be like, oh, I know exactly what to study now, because those sections are massive. They're 100, 200 pages long, and it's gonna be hard to really pick any specific information out of there. But definitely note those chapters, read those chapters, and we'll go through them with you as we get further on into this book. But and those aren't necessarily 100% accurate too. It's just a general kind of idea of what you should focus on. But yeah, each domain is going to be comprised of 3 to 4 tasks that the personal trainer needs to be competent to do, and that's what they're going to choose for the tests. In those 4 domains, they're going to let you know how you did and everything like that. So as we get further down into page 11 under the education and experience sort of section, they're going to be talking about basically how you should educate yourself as a personal trainer. And so ACE wrote this nice big textbook for you to understand how to pass this exam and give you all the information that you need to pass the exam. But they say, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can become a competent certified personal trainer. And one of them is reading this book and taking our test and studying or getting an internship, different things like that. But we are a secondary we're a secondary education option to the ACE CPT. And the ACE doesn't have anything directly like this that says like, hey, let me take you through the book page by page and sort of educate you. And as me as a personal trainer with over 10 years experience, actually it might be even 12 now, my ability to kind of guide you is a great option for you to further educate yourself. And we as At Fitness Mentors also have continuing education to assist you in furthering your career, building your business, and just expanding your knowledge around the personal training domain so that you guys can be more successful and also get the CEUs you need to recertify, which we'll get into later in this chapter. So as we move over to page 12, they're going to continue talking about that a little bit, as well as talk about the preparation and testing. We will be your primary preparation and testing, we'll say, educators. We want to make sure that you are competent as a personal trainer, as well as you know what to focus on to pass this exam. Go team. So yeah, feel free to reach out to me, Eddie, at fitnessmentors.com, or give us a call at 424-675-0476 anytime if you have any questions as we go through this. All right, and some furthermore about professional responsibilities and ethics. It's going to talk a little bit about how the ACPT is going to be accredited by the National Commission for Certifying Agencies, the NCCA. What this is the NCCA is an organization that is a third-party accreditor in the sense that it says that if you pass the ACCPT exam, you are, we'll say, ready to begin in this career field. You're competent enough to begin in this career field. And they approve the test. So the NCCA doesn't necessarily actually approve the education. They just approve the test. So when we're talking about this textbook, a textbook is not accredited by the NCCA. NCCA doesn't care about how you educate. They just care about how, if the test does prepare you for the field. And that's why, you know, we can really assist you in getting the information you need to pass the test that they say makes you competent. And that's really our job and what we focus on doing. So that's a little bit about the NCCA. A little further more, there's like a code of ethics, and they talk about a little bit more about how you can, we'll say, make sure you protect your clients. That's in Appendix A all the way at the back of the book, but you can read a little bit more about that, or just go on that web domain they're recommending. As you get further to or page 13, the ACE Code of Ethics, they talked about that. Once again, Appendix A, check it out. Nothing too crazy there. But yeah, you just want to make sure you're holding up the standards of care through what the ACPT recommends. ACE Professionals, Practices, and Disciplinary Procedures. Basically, guys, don't do anything sketchy, to be blunt. If you do any of these sort of things, you're going to potentially get your ACE certification retracted, or that you won't be. They would take away your certification, more or less. Don't do anything negligent. Don't have any felonies, stuff like that. Just some basic recommendations there. Nothing too important, but just to make sure that you are a respectable citizen, that sort of thing. They just kind of have some basic professional practices that you should abide by. All right, so the next on page 13, the certification period and renewal. This is what we kind of talked about earlier, the ACE CEUs. They want to make sure that you are always expanding your education. And the ACE CEUs, they recommend, are going to be 20 hours of continuing education over the course of 2 years, so 10 hours a year. But basically, you need 2.0 CECs, or continuing education credits, as well as maintain your current CPR certificate, as well as AED certificate, or make sure that that's always current. As a personal trainer, that makes sure that you can always maintain your ACPT certification. Guys, we do offer ACE CECs. Check out our website under the Continuing Education tab above on this page, and we can assist you in furthering your careers, as well as getting those CECs that you need. And they talk a little bit more about that as you get onto page 14. Further down page 14, they're going to talk about client privacy. We kind of got into this earlier, guys. Mainly, you need to maintain the security of each client's personal information. That's it, personal information as far as like credit card and payment information, their medical history. If they share something with you, it's not your job to go out and share it with someone else, even if it does potentially assist them. They are the ones in charge of their own personal information, as well as medical history. So don't share info unless permission is given from them in writing. Okay, so if you want to share something about their medical history, don't do it unless you have their permission in writing. And that just protects you on the legal end. And once again, the HIPAA Act, or the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, is brought up. So make sure you understand that that's why you want to maintain client confidentiality, is because of that act, which if you violate that act, there can be legal consequences. All right, furthermore, talking about referrals in the bottom of page 14, you guys are gonna be working with all of that allied healthcare continuum, all of those different careers, and referring people into this, or creating a referral network, is gonna be really beneficial so that you can maintain your business and build your business. And it's really going to be important for or healthcare professionals, including personal trainers, to understand that their qualifications and boundaries. And if something falls outside of your scope of practice, recommend them to a chiropractor, recommend them to a physical therapist, and they will do those same people will do the same for you. You know, visit a physical therapy office and talk to them about clients with injuries, and then talk or make relationships with those people so that once they're done rehabilitating, they can be recommended to you to maintain their health or get stronger in the knee where that they injured, stuff like that. So yeah, develop a referral network, guys. Apply what you know section on page 15 is going to talk about that. What types of people can be in your referral network? That mind-body instructors, so yoga, Pilates, Qigong, basically smoking cessation programs, weight loss programs, check out those. Aquatic exercise programs, support groups, massage therapists. Also, guys, if you go on onto our blog, we have a really good blog about 19 personal training marketing ideas that would really, really benefit you to read, you know, when you're looking to start that business and get a lot of clients. So keep that in mind as you start to think about how you're going to build your business and what you're going to do. There's a lot of great ways to get clients, and that's the referral network is one of those. Yeah, so that's kind of going through there. Chapter 15. Once again, guys, this is all kind of introductory information, nothing too important unless we say it. Like, for instance, that client privacy, that's definitely important there on page 14. But the, yeah, safety, what you need to make sure that safety is always your first priority. This means that, you know, is there potential for danger anywhere in the gym? Clean it up if there's a weight left on the floor. Make sure that, yeah, just the gym floor is clean, the gym space is empty, there's nothing on the floor that can be, the client has potential for injury. Make sure it's not slippery, wet, even if they're sweating, make sure you wipe it up, that sort of thing. Yeah, cleanliness is also important in safety as well to not transmit, you know, illnesses of that sort. So, yeah, keep that in mind. And then as we get into page 16, they're going to talk a little bit further into the scope of practice, and kind of just talk a little bit more about, yeah, scope of practice. They just really like to hit that hard. It's going to be important for the ACE exam to know. And, and as far as safety-wise, one last point there at the top of page 16, ACE is going to recommend that you get professional liability insurance. And that's, they typically recommend about $1 million in coverage, just in case something crazy out there happens, that someone's squatting and they pass out and their barbell hurts them in some way. You want to be protected, and it's you know, coverage is extremely cheap. I think insureyourclub.com has it for like $150 for an entire year's coverage at $1 million. And if you just keep that updated, it definitely protects you and adds a layer of protection to make sure that the client doesn't go after you or your house or your you know, your income or, you know, all that sort of thing. So having additional professional liability insurance personally can be important. All right, so another key concept as we get into the middle of page 16, supplements and other nutrition-related concerns. So once again, guys, you aren't recommending supplements and you aren't recommending any specific meal plans. That's going to be the job of the registered dietitian, but yeah, I mean, that's basically what this whole section talks about. Once again, in that bottom paragraph, personal trainers should give general non-medical nutrition information, but without direct information. Super basic. Don't need to go too much into that. ChooseMyPlate.gov, DietaryGuidelines.gov. Check those out just to make sure that you aren't, you know, recommending a supplement that might injure or that it might have an adverse effect to one of your clients, that sort of thing. Yeah, all right, so now looking at the ramifications of what can happen if you do something outside of your scope of practice, mainly just to summarize that whole section from the bottom of 16 up to 17, you can get sued. Okay, that's about it. Don't get sued, guys. So that's my advice there. And they're gonna beat that to death right there just by continuing to talk about that. And then they're also going to point to table 1.3, which is what to even further define the scope of practice. They're going to give you more scenarios that might happen. One scenario I want to point out is the client has tight IT bands. Okay, so let's say the client has tight IT bands, and that was discovered in a fitness assessment. Can you go in there with your fingers and give them a deep tissue massage or dig your elbow into their IT band? No, you cannot. But you can teach them how to provide self myofascial release. with a foam roller on the IT bands. So once again, you aren't a massage therapist, unless you actually are a massage therapist, then that is within your scope of practice. But the personal trainer, what they're going to do for massage and to release, we'll say, tight tissue, is teach the client how to do it themselves. Okay, that's kind of something important that I want you to highlight. Is that the client, yes, or the personal trainer can teach them how to do self-myofascial release on tight IT bands in order to stay within their scope of practice. And you can read a few more of those other ones there if you really want to understand further exact information about the certain scenarios that you might run into as a personal trainer. Yeah, perfect. So moving over to page 18. So accreditation of an allied healthcare credential through the NCCA. They're going to talk a little bit more about how ACE is accredited by the NCCA. And how that is important, because IHRSA and all these other organizations associated with the fitness industry recommend that in order to get a job, you should have a credential that is approved or accredited by the NCCA. Let's point out just at the bottom there, you're going to see a few, it says recognition from the fitness and health industry. So the Medical Fitness Association recommends that facilities only hire NCCA accredited certifications. ACSM standards and guidelines recommend that they only hire people with that National Commission for Certifying Agencies, NCCA accredited cert, as well as the International Health Racket and Sports Club Association. So that's gonna be the major association that kind of governs your local health club, your 24-hour fitnesses, your LA fitnesses, your Equinoxes, those sort of things. They also recommend that you focus on only hiring personal trainers with an NCCA accredited fitness certification. Yeah, also, as we get into page 19, they're going to talk a little bit more about that. And they're going to talk about the Coalition for the Registration of Exercise Professionals. This is basically going to, it's a company, more or less, it's a 501c nonprofit company that is basically trying to put together a list of all the personal trainers that are accredited. So the Coalition for the Registration of Exercise Professionals just talks about, they're trying to put together a list more or less of professionals that are accredited through the NCCA. And not to get too deep into that, that's the basics behind it, and kind of having that NCCA accredited fitness certification should basically be a requirement for you as a fitness professional. And being on that CREP sort of list will benefit your career more or less. All right, so also recognition from the education community for ACE. ACE is in partnership with a lot of different schools and colleges as we get over to page 19 and 20. And they have, basically been have been approved and accredited by the standards and guidelines for accreditation of educational programs for personal fitness training. That's basically just another sort of pat on the back they give themselves that proves that ACE is a worthy certification. Nothing further more, except for the recognition from the Department of Labor. Yes, the Department of Labor also recognizes that ACE is a viable option to become a personal trainer. All right, so now we get into a little bit more fun stuff. As we get to the bottom, page 20, we have continuing education. And continuing education basically is going to be recommended to advance your knowledge and create specializations for you as a personal trainer. Most of the time, personal trainers don't train everyone. They typically tend to find a niche, whether that be pregnant females or older adults or kids or males looking to gain muscle, stuff like that. Continuing education is really there for you to push yourself to expand your knowledge in the fields that you focus on most. And that advance your knowledge section on page 21, they get into a little bit more about what you should focus on. And there at the kind of the bottom middle of the paragraph right there, it says it's going to be important for the ACE professionals to stay current and as the standards and guidelines are going to be changing constantly in medical journals. And it's going to be changing as far as the research for health and exercise science and healthcare is going to always be changing. So you need to stay current. And basically that last sort of section talks about how the personal trainer is, we'll say, best educated by continuing their education courses from published scientific literature. Specifically, there's a lot of published scientific literature in things like scientific journals, specifically things like peer-reviewed scientific journals. You'll hear this like the Journal of Exercise Science, Journal of Medicine for certain healthcare issues. But those are going to basically be the most accredited, or sorry, the most credible form of CEUs. You know, you're getting CEUs from a fitness magazine that's promoting, you know, muscle gain isn't necessarily going to be your best option as far as scientific-based information. ACE says find a published scientific literature, find a scientific journal, and that's going to be your best bet for or credible CEUs and your best learning opportunity. So keep that in mind, highlight that, that you should focus on published scientific literature for sure. All right. Yes, further down page 21, they talk about the specializations further. I want you guys to have a specialization because that's where your passion is. My passion, to be honest, is going to be in assisting, we'll say, males from the age of, you know, 20 to 50, in health, or 20 to 60, we'll say, gain muscle and maintain, we'll say, that male drive to be successful and have male, you know, health-related effects, muscle gain, you know, health in general, make them feel good, and also increase athleticism in that population. That's kind of my go-to area, and that's what I find most enjoyable, and that's what I do. There's no reason that I definitely would train anyone, but when I'm focusing on writing, we'll say a blog for my website, I'm focusing on attracting that sort of client or that sort of consumer. It's someone that searches on the internet. Oh, I want to, you know, gain weight. I'm getting 50 and I'm starting to slow down a little bit, but I want to gain some muscle back and feel younger again. That's going to be my target when I'm thinking about creating content to drive clients or to get clients. So keep that in mind. Your specializations. I have many specializations from NASM, from ACE, from ACSM, and I have the CE or the corrective exercise, some performance enhancement, the certified strength and conditioning specialist through NSCA, and all of those are benefiting a lot all over the place as far as the, we'll say, benefiting all types of clients, but I really enjoy the specific population I mentioned earlier, and that's what I really focus on. So find your niche, find your specialization, and in our business and sales course under our continuing education classes, that we can really help you find what's most important to you. We have a section that just helps you to determine your niche. Who do you want to work with? We're going to help you determine that. So check out that course there up in the continuing education section at the header of our website right there. All right. So as we flip over to page 22, we're going to kind of end it here on these last two pages, but, degrees in the field, guys, it says a fun little stat. There's 70% of ACE certified professionals have a four-year degree. Four-year degrees are great. They aren't necessary to be a personal trainer and don't necessarily advance you as a personal trainer, except in the fields of like managing gyms. You know, if you want to be a general manager at a gym, if you want to move up the corporate gym ladder, having that degree is going to be important. So you need to determine that for yourself. Maybe some of you already have a degree and you're just getting a certification now. Maybe some of you are just starting with the certification to be a personal trainer and then you know, be a personal trainer as you go to a four-year, which is actually what I did. I became a personal trainer first, and then that creating income off that, I put myself through college as I had a career already that I was training for, and I actually went to Long Beach State and got my Bachelor's of Science in Kinesiology. Which furthered my ability to train clients, and as I was making money training clients, so it was like fun double-edged sword. That's probably not the right comparison, but it was a good way to further my career by getting a degree and also learn more about my field that I was already in. Good times. All right, additional fitness certifications. Get as many fitness certifications as you want. We recommend it. Always learn. Always learn about new technologies, always learn about new tools. ACE talks about their group fitness certification if you want to really focus on training groups, like if you own your own boot camp or want to work in more of a CrossFit setting that has a group sort of training and less one-on-one, that's always recommended. And then new areas of expertise within the allied healthcare. There's going to be, you know, the industry is always evolving, and staying up to date and being on the, you know, cutting edge of all new fitness information is always recommended. So, you know, if you want to, you know, dabble in multiple career paths, like a registered dietitian and a personal trainer, or a massage therapist and a personal trainer, or a doctor and a personal trainer, there's a lot of things that you can do. Never stop learning, always expand your expertise, and that will also benefit your potential to generate income too. So, good times. All right, so yeah, then just a basic summary of the chapter that we just went over. The main points is just, it's important for people interested in becoming personal trainers to realize that it's a professional service. So what do you need to do? You need to be outgoing. You need to be a good communicator. You need to motivate people. Be sensitive to the needs of others. You know, all these little tips to assist you in becoming better. And also within all that, though, what this chapter was most about is understanding the scope of practice for a personal trainer. Memorize those charts that we told you earlier, as you don't want to go outside of the scope of practice, as that could be not good for your career path. All right, guys, that's more or less it for this chapter. Thanks for hanging out with me. We are through one chapter of 18, and we did the dang thing. All right, guys, I look forward to seeing you in the next chapter. In the meantime, before you go to the next chapter, what we want you to do is in our online course, we want you to complete the assignment below, which is our study guide. If you have our study guide, complete the questions in the study guide for this chapter. Listen to the answers to the study guide in this chapter. And then also take the quiz for this chapter, which is in your practice test section, or at the bottom of our online course, at the bottom of the page, you'll see that practice quiz for this chapter. So we're hitting all ends of this educational process by learning through audio, through visual aids, through answering questions in open-ended format, or explaining those answers, and then really ensuring that you retain the right information by quizzing you on this. That's the best way to get this information. That's the best way to be a personal trainer, or to learn the education necessary to be a personal trainer. And that's going to allow the information to stick so that you can go out there and crush your ACE CPT exam, as well as become the best personal trainer possible. All right, guys, I will see you in chapter 2. Go ahead and do those things, and I will see you soon. Cheers.